This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I hope you enjoyed a manic Monday. Mine was more of a mowing Monday. First step to get ready to winterize my lawn. I had to mow it, and everything I read said mow the lawn shorter and shorter, so lower the blades on the mower and cut it shorter and shorter as you get closer to the winter. So I cut it pretty short. Oh my gosh, I pulled out handfuls and handfuls and handfuls of weeds and dead flowers and tried to clean up the flower beds and the yard as much as possible. And do you know what's happening on Tuesday? The aeration. I've never done this before. I bought a tool. It is a long handle, and then it's these spikes on four wheels. And so while I don't have my own green on a golf course that I need to aerate, I suppose it's going to be something like that. So I'm going to walk up and down, almost like I'm hoeing rows. I'm going to walk up and down with my aeration tool and poke a bunch of holes in my ground. And then I have to fertilize. I've got the spreader, and I also have got to put down some grass seed mats. So I have patches where there's dirt. I don't know why the grass isn't growing in those patches, but I don't need to seed the whole entire backyard, just kind of these weird dirt stretches in different places. And so I bought this roll of grass seed mat that I've read does the trick, and you cut it up and you lay it down on the dirt patches and you water it. And voila, or boom, there's grass that grows. So that's the backyard. I still have to do the front yard, though. It's in pretty good shape. It doesn't really need any of the grass seed elsewhere. So now the goal is to keep the dog off of all of it until after it's watered and seeded. But I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying the process. I don't love yard work, but I do enjoy the investment now that it's my own little slice of heaven and my first time owning a house. And many of you have offered your advice or just your support, which I appreciate. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We're glad to have you with us. Second show of the work week, one of the nuttiest weeks in sports history. And we're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket can. So we had to call an audible on this edition of the show because producer Dave is sick. I think he and his wife both have colds. And so he was not feeling well to start the work week and decided he couldn't come in for tonight's show because he was feeling worse. And so I'm pretty sure that our program director asked 9 or 10 people. The list he sent me, all of the people that he asked to fill in before he got to you, Frank. So Frank is working on the show. And I'm pretty sure, and you've hung out with the guys before, kind of shadowing and maybe training. But this is the first time you've run the board for the show, correct? You've run the equipment?
Yes, it is.
Are you freaking out in there?
Very much so.
Great. That's exactly what I want to hear. Okay, I'm trying to make it as easy and simple as possible, but you picked a night, well, we picked you, on a night when the Stanley Cup is awarded, which only happens 4 times per year if we're lucky. So you are in a cool spot and get to be here on a championship night and also the night before the baseball postseason. So people know a little bit about you. Frank, who are your favorite sports teams? Don't tell me New York. Everyone I work with loves New York sports teams. Can you be a little bit original?
I was a born loser. I am a Met fan, an Islander fan, a Knick fan, and I got one winner, the Giants, although they're highly embarrassing right now.
We are right now.
But after spending 13 years in San Diego, the Padres kind of grew on me, so I'll be rooting for them this postseason.
There you go. So the San Diego Padres are one of the great stories of the 2020 baseball season, or really the 2020 calendar year if you're a sports fan. They won't start until Wednesday. At least Frank has a little bit of rooting interest there because they will take on the Cardinals. But coming up on Tuesday, it's the American League Series. And as I've said to you before, I'm not thrilled with this bloated bracket. And the commissioner has already indicated that there will not be 16 teams in the playoffs moving forward. This, to me, just feels like another way to add a bunch of series as opposed to it being a wild card. I'm not even sure why they're calling it that anymore. It's not, I don't know. It's just adding a whole nother series to the baseball postseason. I liked the package that we had. I really liked the one and done wild card games, because that drama, that winner take all or winner move on or winner you go home, however you want to term it, those games, that element to starting off the postseason, I thought kind of sucked fans in right off the top and gave you that excitement and kind of prepared you for what was to come over the rest of the month of October. So here they are starting in September, and this is their way of including as many teams as possible and kind of expanding it to the point where maybe fans feel like they're not getting as gypped or as cheated out of a full baseball season as what many felt like because of the 60-game format for the regular season. So starting on Tuesday, I mean, this is insane. 4 series on Tuesday, and then on Wednesday, 8 series. And these are best of 3. So I guess theoretically, we could have all 4 of the American League series wrap up on Wednesday. We could have none of them wrap up on Wednesday. We could have half of them or one of them or 3 of them. And I still do love the winner take all concept. I just don't think it's necessary to have 16 teams in the postseason and to have all of them playing in wild card series. So while they do get to be at home, and there is a little bit of that, there are no fans for most of these games, not all of them. And some you'll see a handful of fans, you know, a few fans or family and friends. But having just been to a game at Citi Field last week, or I guess it was a week and a half ago, I went to a Mets-Braves game at Citi Field. And I can tell you, as much as it may sound weird and look awkward on TV, it is far stranger and more surreal in person, because that pumped-in crowd noise, it's louder on TV and radio than what it actually is on site. So they can turn it up for production value on TV and radio broadcast. But when you're in the stadium, it is downright eerie to be there when there are no fans. So I hope in some cases there will be fans allowed, but in a lot of these stadiums, you will not see fans at all because of where they're located. So for instance, in California, both the Dodgers and Oakland in the Bay Area, hosting series. And so and then you think about the games that, you know, they'll be to a, you know, a game 3 and all the drama and the excitement of, hey, we win and we move on, and it'll just be different. So I agree that baseball needs to give fans a reason to tune in. So if this is more exciting to you, if you think this format is cool and you're looking forward to this mad blitz of a week, so the wild card series, because they're best of 3, will be over by Friday. That's the crazy part. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, potentially games on Friday. There may be some on Friday, there may be none on Friday, but they're straddling it. So it's American League on Tuesday, it's everybody on Wednesday, it's American League as necessary and everybody on Thursday in the National League. And then Friday would be whatever series are left over from the senior circuit, from the NL. And so it could be really exciting, really entertaining, and it could be overload. And that's a little bit of what I'm worried about with fans, because if you look at the way the games are straddled, so let's just take Wednesday, for example, there are games starting every single hour for the first 5 hours. I'm not kidding about this. In Atlanta, the game between the Reds and the Braves starts at 12:08 Eastern time. First of all, it's 9 o'clock on the West Coast in the morning, but 12:08 Eastern time. The next game starts exactly an hour later in Minneapolis. Then an hour after that in Chicago at Wrigley Field. An hour after that, the A's began their game 2 against the White Sox, and that one's taking place in the Bay Area. An hour after that, it's Tampa hosting Toronto. An hour after that, I mean, it's impossible for baseball fans to enjoy all of these series because you're not going to be watching 6 games that are all taking place at the same time. It's just, it's not possible. And then you think about the times of them too. A lot of people are back to work. A lot of kids are back in school. Or if they're not in school, then they're remote learning or they're going through a hybrid model. So I understand that baseball is trying to maximize its postseason earnings potential, okay? Because the more games that are played in the postseason, the more money baseball can recoup. And they're certainly losing a lot of money this year. I get it. But I'm not sure how practical this is for fans to really get involved. I think what you'll see is similar to what we see during the regular season, which is the regional appeal of these series, the regional appeal of baseball, where you've got fans who root hard for their particular team, and maybe they're familiar with the teams in their division, but it doesn't transcend the country the way that football does. I saw this post on our Facebook page. Guy being snarky about Tyler Lockett and talking about how Tyler Lockett is the best receiver that nobody on the East Coast has ever heard of. I mean, please let me roll my eyes. Fantasy football keeps everybody involved all the time. And so, of course, we all know about Tyler Lockett. And in the state of Florida, people care what the Seahawks are doing in the state of Washington. That is the mass appeal of football. But it's not that way with baseball anymore. Now, maybe this helps, and maybe people just sit in front of the TV all day long like they would on a Sunday during football season or a Saturday during college football, and they do nothing but change channels all day long. But it's different because it's a weekday, number one. Number two, it's different because the games are straddled the way they are. So you can't watch one full game and then turn to the next game. No, I mean, you're talking about potentially 4 games, 5 games going on all at the same time. So I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't know how the ratings are going to be. I would like to know how interested you are in the baseball postseason. So if you want to find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, that'd be cool. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. There certainly are some really interesting storylines. Gerrit Cole starting for the first time as a member of the Yankees as opposed to the Astros last year, right? So the Astros go to Game 7. They lose to the Washington Nationals. Such a great story. It feels like eons ago that the Nationals dominated October of 2019. But Gerrit Cole signed that massive deal for which he is being supremely overpaid in 2020. I think a lot of guys are, based on the number of games that they played or started. And so Gerrit Cole against Shane Bieber. So we're going to get some really amazing matchups, I think, or we could. I don't want to say on paper they would be amazing. You never know what's going to happen when they actually get on the diamond. But to have a Gerrit Cole and a Shane Bieber both starting in the same game, I mean, that's what will make people tune in. I just am kind of wondering, is the format going to take some getting used to? But also, if you're overloaded by the number of games, are people going to tune in to some of the marquee matchups? Well, this American League wild card battle between the Yankees and the Indians is taking place at Progressive Field. It may not be called that anymore. Maybe it has a new name, but it's in Cleveland. And I suck at keeping up with stadium names. But it's in Cleveland, Frank tells me it still is. And it's Gerrit Cole and it's Shane Bieber for the Yankees and for the Indians. The pitching matchups could be astounding. I just want people to see them. I want people to tune in. And it's harder to do when you've got so many games and so many options. Now, on Wednesday evening, you also have the NBA Finals. But on Tuesday, at least the deck is clear for Major League Baseball. All right, so there's no hockey, there's no basketball, there's no football. Baseball was smart to start on a Tuesday. So the hope is that fans will be sucked in. The hope is that fans will maybe sit and watch baseball for 4 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours. We'll see. Getting Yankees and Indians as the primetime game on the East Coast. So the first pitch is set for 7:08 Eastern time, 4 o'clock Pacific time. And I'm sure that the hope is for Major League Baseball that people will love the format, will love the sense of urgency right off the top, will love this expanded bracket, and will then choose to turn this into almost like a March Madness blitz. So, you know, the first 4 days of March Madness where you've got, well, once they take care of the Dayton games, but you've got those first full days of Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, where it's games nonstop at various sites all around the country. And you could literally sit in your chair for 12 hours or on your couch for 12 hours. I wouldn't recommend it. You might have some atrophy, but you could sit in your chair for 12 hours each of those days and do nothing but watch basketball. And so baseball is kind of hoping for a March Madness feel, I think, as a start with a bang to the playoffs. And then come Monday, the American League Division Series, the National League Division Series, they'll be moving to the bubbles, quote unquote. And the format will look different. But I hope that fans are able to find what they're looking for. There's a little bit of something for everyone, and I would like to know how excited you are about baseball with this new format and kind of starting off and throwing pretty much everything but the kitchen sink at you. All right, so find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We'll continue to talk about Monday Night Football as well as the fact that this is one of the nuttiest weeks in the history of sports. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
John Ireland, referring to his co-host, or his analyst, I should say, Michael Thompson, father of Clay. A little bit weird not to see the Warriors for so long. Instead, out of the Western Conference, it's the Los Angeles Lakers, who are into the NBA Finals for the first time in a decade and for the first time in the LeBron era. LeBron likes to take his era and move elsewhere. And so he did what he wanted to do with the Lakers, get them back to the playoffs and now into the NBA Finals. They were the top seed going into the bubble. The Miami Heat were not. They were the 5 seed out of the East, but they have survived. And you overlook them at your own peril. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. The big news coming out of the NBA is not so much the finals, which do tip on Wednesday, but the fact that Doc Rivers is out as the head coach of the Clippers. Now, initially, this was termed as a firing, but according to multiple reports, he stepped down as coach of the Clippers, and owner Steve Ballmer called it a mutual decision. I'm using my air quotations. A mutual parting of ways. Yes, there was some speculation that this might ultimately be the end result after the Clippers were up 3-1 against the Nuggets in the Western Conference semifinals and still failed to reach their first ever Western Finals. We're just talking conference finals here. They've never reached a conference finals, and they have found some unique ways to lose. But even with Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, BFFs who wanted to play together, you had George, after they lost, talking about how their chemistry just wasn't right. They never really felt like the championship was in their sights this season, even though they had the 4th best record in franchise history this year, 49 wins and a 3-1 lead over the Nuggets. And it wasn't just the fact that they lost, it was how they lost. In each of those games, being up by double figures, in one of those games being up by 20, and you only need one more win and you're in to the Western Conference Finals. Doc Rivers, he was the head coach of the Clippers for 5 of their 6 best seasons in franchise history, but they couldn't get to the promised land. So you can either believe it was a firing, you can believe it was a mutual decision. Either way, the Clippers are now looking for a better leader, and that's where my question is. There are few people in basketball, few people in sports that I admire more than Doc Rivers for his wisdom, his experience, his leadership, his grittiness, his honesty. And I'm not talking about off the court. I'm talking, well, it could be that too, but I'm talking about on the court as a basketball coach. And you could look at his track record before he got to the Clippers, and you could point to an NBA title with the Celtics. He's been in a buttload of game sevens, and his record is about even. This franchise didn't bust through its glass ceiling with Doc Rivers as the head coach. Now, he navigated a lot of adversity in that position, a lot of changes. Of course, you would think he wanted Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, but I'm not sure he got to pick. As a head coach in the NBA, it's more of a managerial position. Certainly, you might be drawing up plays. I guess it depends upon the age of your locker room. But more often than not, you're managing playing time. You're managing egos. You're, in this case, managing a bubble. And Doc Rivers said multiple times how hard it was on his team. You're managing chemistry issues that were revealed after the fact. Now, Rivers is the only coach in NBA history to be part of a collapse like this three times. So three times in his coaching history has a team lost a 3-1 lead in the playoffs. Going back to the Orlando Magic when it first happened, but of course, the Clippers twice. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Eddie Johnson, longtime NBA sharpshooter, points to Steve Ballmer, even though this was called a mutual decision, but points to Steve Ballmer as the guy who wasn't going to settle for mediocrity. 6 years is a long time to not bust through that glass ceiling that I referred to not take the team further than it's ever been. And this team probably had the best potential of any of the ones he's coached to win a title, being the number two seed in the West. This is an interesting nerd alert. Over his seven seasons with the Clippers, not only did they win multiple division titles and make the playoffs, but the record that the Clippers posted over those seven seasons is the fifth best in the NBA over that stretch. And this is probably a duh, the best by any team without a conference finals appearance. And so they had everything but the success that they sought in the postseason. Now, the Clippers' job is the sixth opening in the NBA. Think about it. Houston, Indiana, Philadelphia, some of you are pointing to the Sixers on our Facebook page, Oklahoma City, Billy Donovan leaves there if his contract is up and gets hired in Chicago, and New Orleans. Are there really five coaches out there better than Doc Rivers? I think not. I think at least one of these teams, maybe two of these teams, would be thrilled to have Doc Rivers. If he wants to continue coaching, there will be a job out there for him. You can't tell me that there are, now taking the Clippers off the table, of course, that's the sixth opening, but you can't tell me there are five other available coaches better than Doc Rivers, who brings more equity and credibility to the table right now. If you're looking for an experienced veteran coach, a guy who can help to lead a rebuild, or who can steer a franchise in a different direction after, say, it's had a few down years, then he's a guy who can certainly do that. And he made a major impact with the Clippers. It just wasn't enough. Brooklyn's already hired Steve Nash. Chicago, as we just talked about, picked up Billy Donovan almost the second that he was available. 943 career wins, by the way. Doc Rivers brings that into a locker room. 11th most by an NBA head coach all time. Ultimately, though, it's about the hardware. And in lieu of the hardware, at least getting to the point where you're actually in the arena with the hardware, whether it's Orlando or somewhere else. Love Doc Rivers. I believe he'll have another job if that's what he wants. He says, of the expectations, we didn't meet them. That's the bottom line. I'm the coach, and I'll take any blame for it, but we didn't meet our expectations because if we had, in my opinion, we'd still be playing. Funny, because that's not what Paul George said, although he got royally criticized for his comments following the Clippers' loss in Game 7 against the Nuggets. All right, how excited, how interested, how captivated are you by the NBA, or excuse me, by the Major League Baseball postseason? It starts on Tuesday. I'm reserving judgment. I do love playoff games, and I do love the baseball postseason. Once we get into October, I think it'll be really interesting. I hope the intensity and the quality of play is as good as what we've seen from the NBA and the NHL postseasons, despite the challenges of playing in 2020. But I don't know. This might be too many games. I might be overwhelmed come Wednesday. Oh, heavens. How much coffee do you think it's going to take to get through 8 playoff games on Wednesday? My poor dog. She's going to be tired of hearing fake crowd noise. I'm going to be tired. That's way too much fake crowd noise. It just dawned on me. I can't stand the fake crowd noise. It's got to the point now where it's annoying. I either mute the TV or I find the radio signal where there's, you know, the crowd noise is almost inaudible. I actually really appreciate Monday Night Football's broadcast. They definitely turned down the fake noise after a week ago when it was making my head hurt. They really toned it down on Monday for Chiefs Ravens. All right, so find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. I don't do many Twitter polls, but maybe I'll put one up just for fun to gauge your interest in the baseball postseason. And I see some of your comments coming in on Facebook too. So I appreciate you hanging out with us. Always good to have you. 855-212-4227. 855-212-4CBS. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
John Murphy, the play-by-play voice of the Buffalo Bills. Oh, yes, there was a sampling of the finest that Josh Allen has to offer as part of this Week 3 win. But after the Bills were exposing the Rams' defense, the Rams had a couple of tricks up their sleeve. So this turned into one of the seesaw affairs of Week 3 in the NFL. When it was all said and done, you saw the Bills fight through some adversity. They coughed up all of that 25-point lead. They allowed the Rams to come roaring back and actually take the lead in the fourth quarter. And yet, with 5 minutes to go, the Bills were able to calmly step back on the field as an offense and march down the field for yet another score. And so the Bills had to win the game twice, but they do so. And Josh Allen certainly put up numbers that would put him in our poll for Monday MVP. You'd been clamoring for Allen to be included for the first couple of weeks, and so we heard you, and so did Josh. Our Player of the Week, voted by you, is brought to you by Grainger. So let's take a closer look at the numbers for Josh Allen, who definitely got it done. Allen with 311 yards passing, 4 passing touchdowns, and then throw in for good measure, a rushing TD. He finishes with 5. Same as Patrick Mahomes, same as Russell Wilson. There were a few sacks mixed in there, but the distribution, working so many different receivers into the offense. He did have an interception, and he did have a fumble, and that's part of the reason why the Rams were able to come back. But these are all learning experiences. They're all building blocks. I love his toughness. I like his approach. Certainly, he's got the boldness. He's got the tools. He can run guys over. He can also fling it. And he's growing with every game, making fewer mistakes, compensating for his mistakes, and putting up some eye-popping numbers so far this season. We had this conversation a couple of weeks ago about the best quarterback under the age of 25. Well, Josh Allen is 24, and yet he brings a lot of experience now into his third season as an NFL starter. 10 touchdowns. 1 interception through 3 weeks. And just like Russell Wilson, he's being mentioned in that MVP conversation, but no one wins an MVP after 3 weeks unless we're talking about the After Hours Monday MVP. Thank you for all of your votes. The Player of the Week, sponsored by Grainger. As you get back to business, Grainger is there to help with supplies and solutions for every industry, safety recovery guides, 24/7 support, and more. Visit Grainger.com/recovery. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. We told you in the first hour that it will be Nick Foles taking over as the starting quarterback for the Chicago Bears. Matt Nagy making that announcement on Monday. There will not be a change at starting quarterback for the Eagles. And Doug Peterson, as head coach, made an appearance on Sirius XM NFL Radio on Monday. And he was asked about whether or not he was considering a change at starting QB. Ha ha! Okay, that's my favorite part of everything that Doug Peterson had to say. Yes, it would be an overreaction right now to make a quarterback change. And I think for Carson Wentz, we know he has the tools. Maybe he's a little skittish. Obviously, the offensive line is not great and has hung him out to dry there a bunch. But you're not in a better position to win if you put Jalen Hurts out there as your starting QB. So I appreciate what Doug Peterson has to say. And Doug Peterson is a former NFL QB himself. But when he says to you that the Eagles are just a half game out of first place, he's actually not being sarcastic, but it just sounds so funny. He's right, because Washington and Dallas are at 1-2. They're tied for first place atop the soap opera division of the NFL. And the Eagles, that tie keeping them from being in the basement with the New York Giants. The Eagles are at 0-2-1. Yes, it's true. This division is a disaster to start in the first 3 weeks. But whatever, there's always got to be one, right? It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. I did it. I did a poll. I did a thing, you guys. I don't do many polls. So help me out, will ya? I want to know what your excitement level is for the Major League Baseball postseason as it begins on Tuesday with 4 games and then never happened before, 8 baseball playoff games on Wednesday. Not if necessary, actually 8. I'm overwhelmed. I'm glad that there are some of you on Facebook who are feeling a little bit like me. Please retweet the poll. It's on my Twitter, A-Law Radio, or I'll put it up on Facebook. But I don't know. I don't even know how to do a poll on Facebook. But maybe you just answer the question on Facebook. Just share the poll, because I won't take it personally if no one votes in it. But it would be cool if people did, so I could gauge your interest level by this time tomorrow. What is your excitement level for the baseball postseason? And of course, we'll take your calls. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. It's brought to you toll-free by Geico. Did you know right now Geico offers an extra 15% credit on your car, motorcycle, and RV policies? And that's on top of what Geico can already save you. And when you switch, no need to delay. What are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. 855-212-4227. Joe sends me this tweet. I'm really looking forward to the baseball postseason. It's the only sport I've been paying attention to since the pandemic started. It should be fun. Good. I'm glad. Although I'd invite you to pay attention to some of the other sports, because they're pretty compelling as well. Let's see, another tweet. I had zero faith in the Brewers making it a week ago. I don't care if they backed in or not. If they're the worst team to ever make the postseason, I don't even know what that means. They're in the postseason and anything can happen, and that's all that matters to me. Yeah, and I think if you're a Brewers fan or you're a fan of the Astros, there are some of you out there, it doesn't matter how you got in. Now you're all on equal footing. You're going into stadiums, especially if you're the lower seeds. You're going into stadiums where there are no fans for the most part. You're not going to be dealing with raucous, crazy, loud stadiums that are all hoping that you die on the spot, theoretically speaking. No, they're going to be empty. There's really not going to be much of a home field advantage. And so just like the NBA, when I said to you, anything can happen, same thing with hockey, though a lot of times in hockey we see strange and wonderful upsets. We did see a bunch of upsets. We did see a bunch of lower seeds win these games in the NBA postseason. We have a 5 seed in the finals, which is awesome. Well, in Major League Baseball, I think we're going to see something similar. Now every team is on equal footing. Yeah, you get to line up your pitching staff, theoretically, the way that you would like. All of the teams that had to battle through the very last days of the regular season may not quite have it in the same order as their opponents. But there are no great perks for being a higher seed. This is as level a playing field as you're going to get for the baseball postseason. So on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then also on our Facebook page, you can just send me your posts. I think a lot of you are already. I love, this is what I put on Facebook, just because I don't do the fun GIFs and pictures like producer Dave does. Frank is helping us out tonight and doing a good job. So I put this on Facebook after a couple of notes about this being one of the craziest weeks in sports history. How are you feeling, sports fans? Some of you have come up with some pretty unique responses. I will give you that. However, I like this post from Steven because I can feel this. He says, overwhelmed. Me too. By this time tomorrow, I may have the emoji where your eyes are so big. I'm going to need more coffee, certainly. I better get some lined up in the fridge, ready to go. I only drink iced coffee, so it has to be cold. But yeah, I'm going to be lining them up and knocking them down when it comes to the coffee. So Steven goes on to say, we had no sports for a long time. Now we don't have enough TVs to watch them all. Or our fingers aren't fast enough to change the channels. It's kind of funny. Every single time I tweet about one particular sport, of course, people should know that there's about a zillion things going on every day and night in sports now. But the second I tweet about one sport, I always get this response from someone out there. Change the channel. Why aren't you watching the other game? Well, duh, you dopeies. I have to watch them all. Yes, I'm watching them all. Just because I don't tweet about every single second that happens in every single game doesn't mean I'm not paying attention. Like Steve, you got to be quick draw McGraw with your remote. Jason on Facebook says having all these games is heaven on earth. Maybe. I don't know if there'll be sports in heaven. It's interesting. Definitely not cornhole. I did play cornhole at a recent church picnic, though. That was kind of funny. Laura feels the same as me. I'm excited, but I do feel overwhelmed that there are so many games. Yes, me too. Do you know there is a very high probability that I am going to mix up some of these games? I'm going to be super tired by the time the week wraps up. So say Wednesday, Thursday, if we're getting close to the end of the week, there's no doubt that I'm going to accidentally have the Reds playing the Yankees, which would be kind of fun, or having the Dodgers taking on the Astros just because my brain has skipped a beat. So anyway, you're going to have to be gracious for when your host makes some dumb mistakes. Tim on Facebook, I'm excited for the baseball playoffs, or when I can't read out loud. Best series should be the Yankees at the Indians for the first round. We'll see. I have no idea what the best series are going to be. I know that the Yankees have a ton of injuries. So do the Astros. They're both in the similar boat when it comes to having lost a lot of guys. This 60-game sprint, different teams reacted differently, and we could see some really quick series based on starting pitching. We could see some that go all the way through. And then what, right? And then what? It just, the whole thing is odd. And so I'm not exactly sure how it's going to play out or how to digest it. I just know that my butt is going to hurt after sitting in my chair for a really long time. Maybe I'll do like my 98-year-old Grammy and do exercises while I sit in my chair and watch TV. She tells me about them all the time. She's very proud of herself. I'm proud of her too. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.